Hi, everybody. It's Ruby. Ruby late because it is the wee hours of the morning on December 5th, and this podcast was supposed to be out on the 3rd. So my apologies, everybody. Life gets away from me sometimes. Welcome to Ruby Writer's Pagan Paradise podcast number 25. This is December 5th, 2012. And I've had so many wild things happening in my life. That's part of the reason that I'm late here. So this podcast might be a little rough around the edges. Hopefully I don't wander too much. I've only made a certain amount of notes for it. So we're just going to go for it because it's late enough and you guys are probably out there waiting for this, checking every day and saying, what the hell? I have a bunch of letters and notes from podcast listeners and also from my readers. So let's start off with the first one. This man writes and says, once a guy gets into prostate stimulation, whether through toys, or as in my case, the Helix and the Progasm, these are Aneros toys that this man is mentioning, he will beg for the peg. But what is a guy to do when his partner is not up for pegging him in a crowded social setting? Well, now is the time for a prostate stimulating plug. Perhaps you could discuss this as part of one of your wonderful podcasts, but plugs for men and women to spice up their evenings. I would be happy to provide insight into any podcast. As a guy with 8 butt plugs specifically focused on prostate stimulation, most of which can be worn in public, 5 cock rings, 1 ball stretcher, and 1 vibrating silicone prostate stimulator. Yes, I know sadly many would have me committed for having such a large toy collection for a straight guy. I would be happy to provide any insight I could offer. Well, first, I have to comment on what is a guy to do when his partner's not up for pegging him in a crowded social setting. You know, I don't know a whole lot of people whose partners are up for pegging them in a crowded social setting. I've been approached for that before because I teach, and I have steadfastly refused to do live demos because I think that as exciting as they may be to watch, they would be more of a distraction than they would learning actually about pegging itself. So I'm not somebody for pegging in a crowded social setting, but I do like your idea of the spiciness of wearing a butt plug in a social setting. And this is actually something I haven't really thought all that much about. So it was kind of cool to read this because I have indeed put in a plug and gone about my daily business, including driving places and walking around in the world and just doing errands. And I have to say, it puts a skip in my step and a big smile on my face. I'll definitely tell you that. I'm quite sure that I'm nicer to everyone I meet when I have a butt plug in. I usually use the Tantus Rider. And then I've also played around with the Aneros Eevee. And that's something I got down at Catalyst Con. I won that in a drawing. And that doesn't go in my butt. It goes in my vagina and has a cool little finger that sits right on top of my clitoris. So it's pretty darn cool. And I have worn both of those. Both of them have the status of being worn out of the house, being taken for an outing, if you will. But I have not yet worn one to a party or a social setting. And now you've got me thinking about that. It's rather deliciously naughty and fun. And I am filing that away for future reference, and not too far in the future either, because I do have a number of parties to go to during the holidays. And as far as, you know, people having you committed for having such a large toy collection, oh goodness sakes, commit me too. Can you imagine what people in the far reaches of very sex-negative places think of me? I mean, if I lived in their town, they'd probably be trying to perform exorcism, and I'd be shunned by the townspeople. I'd be whispered about in public, and then, one by one, they would sneak back to me in the cover of darkness and ask me questions about pegging. I remember telling you guys about a reader who is a part of a couple, and this couple is out to all of their friends. And so whatever was said in public, however all of their friends reacted, who knows, but the interesting thing is the men, all without exception, he said, have come to him and asked him about it privately, which is so cool. So, you know, there you are with the phenomenon of brave, wild people like me and that guy, that couple, who put it out there and opened doors for other people to explore their wild places. You know, I can't say you will be welcome to explore all of your wild places without fear of criticism or recrimination. Certainly from me you won't get that, nor from the majority of people who spend time here at Pegging Paradise. But, you know, remember, anyone who does give you any kind of negativity for your sexual wonderings and wanderings and explorations, remember, it is really just their fears that make them react that way. They're uncomfortable watching you take your reins off because they are not ready to loosen up their reins yet. And watching you do it freaks them out just a little, sometimes a lot. But it's all okay. They'll get there eventually. So, yes, butt plugs to parties. Awesome first message. Alrighty, so the next one. You will recall that I read something from a woman on podcast number 24. This was the woman whose boyfriend is reluctant to try pegging, and she is all down for the whole idea and trying to convince him. So I got a message since that last podcast, and it starts off saying, assuming that girl on podcast 24 is real, oh, you doubter, you. Yes, there are women who really want to peg their guys, and the guys are reluctant. It does happen that way. Now, absolutely, more often it happens the other way around, but it does happen that way occasionally. So he goes on to say, the answer is simple. The girl trying to get him into pegging needs to get him into a room for solo play with an Aneros Helix. Can you tell that this second message is the same as from the first guy? She has more than done her part. Once he relaxes and gets into the prostate stimulation and has his first prostate orgasm and maybe even the super O, quote unquote, per the Aneros definition, he will be begging for a pegging. It also gives him a taste of a much more powerful and complex multidimensional orgasm. That is an excellent description. I love your choice of words, sir. And the Aneros products, I really like them, not only because they're such a lovely gateway toy to pegging for some men, but because they're therapeutic for prostate health. I mean, did you know that they have two websites? One is called Aneros.com, A-N-E-R-O-S, and that one is all about the lovely solo toys for men, and it talks about orgasms. It has a forum that I participate in that talks about all the different kinds of orgasms that men can have, and it's a really interesting place to go if you doubt that prostate stimulation has orgasmic properties or even just feel-good properties for men. It's because all these men are there talking about how amazing it is. So that website is all black and red and sexy looking and talks about orgasms all over the place. Okay, so there's another website. And granted, it doesn't have all the same toys, but it has some of the very basic ones that I believe that Aneros started with. And this website is called High Island, high like as opposed to low, highisland.com. And this one is all about health. It's so interesting. I mean, literally, it's got people in white coats, and it talks about prostate health. And I believe it even quotes some studies that they've done showing that using these devices is good for prostate health. So, hey, everybody, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not giving medical advice here, but I have stimulated a few prostates in my time, and I have also learned everything I can get my hands on about prostate health for non-professionals, and I've read as much as I can about the professional stuff. And what I have heard over and over again is that decades ago, the general practitioners always used to prescribe prostate massage for enlarged prostates. And that has just all totally gone away now. There's bizarre laser surgeries being done, enlarged prostates for men are practically epidemic. I mean, if you live long enough and you're a man, you will probably have an enlarged prostate. Now, I have already heard stories relayed to me personally by men who have gotten into pegging with their wives, and they originally started out using one of these Aneros devices for prostate stimulation because they were already symptomatic of the enlarged prostate. They were having the urinary problems, and it completely cleared it up. So, you know, there are no panaceas in the world, and so it's not like this device is going to help every single guy. But at the same time, goodness, if I were a man with a prostate, not only would I have my woman pegging the crap out of me, excuse the words there I used, but that just came out, but I would also be doing a lot of prostate stimulation for health, for prostate health. And I would be using these devices and maybe relying on the pegging for the stimulation like so far before I would ever consider any kind of surgery. Oh my God. So yeah, I have some strong feelings about that. And I even considered getting into doing prostate massage myself, but it's a delicate field to be in. Not only is it you're actually penetrating someone, so you have to be really careful about that and have to be with licensed people and it has to be okay. But at the same time, there are those sexual overtones. That's why there's these two websites, you know, because it's not like it can be done and never have any good feelings and never have any sexual feelings. I think that a lot of GPs have tried it. I don't know if I've told you guys before, but I used to have this fantasy that some guys got into pegging and realized about the prostate pleasure because they actually got a prostate exam from their doctor. And every man I've ever told this to just laughs at me because I gather that when doctors have done prostate exams, they're not too gentle about it. They're not there to give you a good time, and probably they specifically don't want to give you a good time because awkward, hello. So yeah, there's that whole thing happening with that. But, you know, GPs a long time ago used to very commonly prescribe prostate stimulation. And in my travels around the internet, looking for as much of this information as I could find, I did find references to women in Korea are trained. They made it sound like it was something passed down from mother to daughter, and the mother would tell the daughter how to do prostate stimulation to keep her husband's prostate healthy. Well, isn't that interesting? So when you start looking around for any information about prostate massage and prostate stimulation for prostate health, some of what you'll find are dire warnings to you should never do this and it's awful and you can die. And okay, here's what they're talking about. One of the things that happens with prostates is they can get infected. This is different from an enlarged prostate, but they can get infected. And if there is an infection in there, if there's bacteria in there, and you reach in and you press really hard and make all of that infection release into the body, which is like so unlikely, it's so hugely unlikely because it would be intensely painful and you'd have a fever and you'd be sick and all these things. Can that actually kill someone? Technically, yes, sure, it can. If you have hugely long fingernails and you stick your fingers in there and perforate someone's rectum or perforate into the prostate, can that cause huge problems? Of course it can. But these are things that only stupid people would do, and I know there's stupid people in the world, but come on. So what happens is the big pharmacology people put the fear of everything that they can find into you so that you are not going to do these things yourself because you're too scared that something might go wrong. And then you use either medications that they sell or you have the surgeries. And I don't know, if I'm making it all sound like a plot, it's because sometimes it feels that way with medicine these days. It drives me crazy. So that's my little lecture about prostate stuff. These Aneros toys, the Solo prostate toys, are much more than toys, in my opinion. I'm so glad that they give so many men incredible pleasure that you can read all about on the forums. But I'm also even more glad that they're actually helping these men regain prostate health. Oh, and there's one more thing, too, I wanted to mention about that. One of the things that they warn is that if you do actually have prostate cancer and you get in there and massage it, that it could be a problem, because one of the theories about cancer is that if you have it somewhere in your body and you massage that area of the body, or you, you poke around in there, that some of that cancerous area can break off and go to a different part of the body and metastasize there. That is, as far as I know, strictly a theory. This has not been proven. And so that's why, one of the things I know is that with massage therapists, if you know that a certain area of the body has cancer, you shouldn't work on it. These are all preventative, being careful things. So, you know, is it good to have your prostate checked regularly and make sure you don't have prostate cancer? Absolutely. But if that's been done, then you're free to do the Aneros toy or get prostate massage from your partner, whatever you prefer, or both, and wear the butt plugs to the parties. All right, let's move on here. Let's see. Okay. Here is another letter, a very short one. We went back and forth a couple of times, this person and I, so I'm going to read you the whole thing. Initially, he wrote and said, "My wife has a fieldo, and she has a problem keeping it in. Any suggestions?" Well, you know, you guys have heard me talk about this a lot. The double dildos, they don't stay in magically. They don't stay in by themselves, unless you're a lesbian and you are doing strap-on sex with your lesbian partner. So there are very, very, very few women who can keep the double-ended dildos in while pegging a man. They do exist. I have heard from them, but there are very few. So I'm not surprised she has a problem keeping it in. What I told this reader was to listen to podcast number 22, because I talked all about the double dildos. And I wrote this: she needs to use a harness with the fieldo, despite the manufacturer claiming it does not need a harness. That only works for lesbian couples. The best harness I can recommend is the Spare Parts Jacques harness. That will keep the dildo inside her, so she doesn't have to worry about it coming out, and she can just peg you. So he wrote back, and this is a really interesting letter. He said, "First off, thank you for your reply. We're looking at getting something like you suggest. Both of us have discovered after several years of marriage that we really like anal things. That includes helping one another prepare for anal play. We discovered how amazingly erotic enema play can be, and we were both blown away by how good it feels. The one problem we do seem to have is my wife at one time in her life weighed about 120 pounds more than she does now. She likes the way pegging me feels for me and wants to do it for me, but she has issues with her self-esteem left over from her heavy time. She loves it when I have anal intercourse with her, especially after she has a couple of enemas. We have to make sure the windows are closed, since she tends to get a bit loud." I love it. "She can climax quickly and often during anal intercourse, both giving and receiving. Like I said, she has to put away the dragons of her old self-esteem before she gets into it. Any suggestions about that? One other thing. We discovered, kind of by accident, how sexy it is to have anal intercourse after she has had her second enema and before she goes to the bathroom to release it. Twice while doing this, she almost passed out. We have this huge shower, and there is room for us and then some. We go into the shower, remove the nozzle, and quickly replace it with my cock. She has found she can climax over and over. Since we are in the shower, it is no big thing if a little water leaks out, and since it is the second enema, things are clean. Sorry if this grossed you out, just a fun thing we discovered. Anyway, any suggestions regarding her issues would be appreciated. It seems once we are doing it, things are fine. It's getting to the point where we are actually doing it. That and the field, though, keeps popping out. We will try your suggestions." Okay. Wow. Well, first of all, congratulations that she lost that much weight. That's totally, absolutely, and completely awesome. Okay. First of all, let's talk about the enema stuff. Enema stuff overlaps with pegging because actually most people consider enemas mostly as a cleaning tool for anal, for either gender. But there are actually many people who have discovered the erotic potential of them. And as far as for cleaning, don't really advise that you use enemas often because it actually upsets the healthy bacterial flora that is natural and is supposed to be there. And obviously, once in a while, it's no problem. And you guys have obviously discovered the erotic potential of enemas yourselves, which is totally cool. And I can't help but ask, you know, what I want to know is, who's the one that decided that first time to leave the second enema in and just have you enter her? I mean, that's an interesting moment to me that go, hey, instead of letting it out, let's just put my cock in there. I mean, that's awesome. To me, that says you're an awesome explorative couple. And I mean, look what you found just by trying that. It sounds like multiple orgasms for her. There are women who absolutely can orgasm fairly easily from anal sex. And I like to tell women this because so many women suffer from the whole thing we've talked about before with the porn teaching men to do anal wrong. And so they become bad givers of anal sex. And then all women now think that, well, a lot of women anyway, think that anal is painful and bad and a horrible thing. Well, listen to this woman. Goodness sakes. She has all kinds of orgasms, is what it sounds like. Be careful with the passing out thing. We do not want her passing out in the shower. And I'm envious, too. Shower play is fun. I actually have a big shower, but alas, no one to play in it with. But obviously, the shower is the perfect place for that kind of play. Okay, let's move on to self-esteem. Some women like to wear the harness over, let's say, lingerie that they feel comfortable in because they're a little self-conscious about whatever imperfections they have. We all have imperfections. But some women just feel better covering up certain parts and then wearing the harness over that, and, you know, with maybe lingerie that she feels beautiful in. So that is one option. There are types of lingerie that fit in the breast area and then go down to the waist and hide bellies if you know, you're afraid of the belly fat or whatever, or self-conscious about that. So that's one. Just whatever it is she feels comfortable in. And along those lines, she could even try out playing around with CFNM, clothed female nude male. That's what that means when you see those acronyms. And it's a type of fetish. It's a type of play that people really enjoy, whereby there is a certain power dynamic because the woman is fully clothed and the man is naked. He usually will feel typically more submissive and vulnerable because he's naked while she's clothed. And some men love that, as do some women, like me, actually. But so she could try that because, I mean, you could always have her fully clothed in like a pair of jeans, and she could just put the dildo in the pair of jeans. You wouldn't even have to have a harness that way. So that's an idea, if that's something that appeals to her. And other than that, you probably already do this, but telling her regularly how hot she looks will help. And I don't mean just a mention, you know. I mean something more like meet her eyes, hold her face in your hands. Tell her meaningfully how hot she looks. And then kiss her soundly. You know, do it with intention, do it with meaning. And that may help. And then I have a suggestion that I heard about some years ago, and use it if you like or throw it away if it doesn't feel like a fit. You know, and the same with all my advice that I give. If it feels right, do it. If it doesn't, then find what works for you. But this was a suggestion, especially for people who have lost a lot of weight, because I've heard that it's hard to really take in that your body has changed shape that much, and that you tend to think of yourself and in your mind's eye see yourself as how you used to be. So you don't have a good sense of what your real body size is now. So here's what the suggestion is. You're going to need to do this somewhere where you can either have a big piece of paper that you can put on the floor and she can lay down on, or a cement driveway in a patio with a piece of chalk, because basically what you want to do is to have her lay down, and then using the chalk or the pen or whatever setup your works in your house, draw a line close to her body all the way around her. Now what happens is now she will have a visual example of what her size is right there. And it's different from looking in the mirror, and it's also different from anyone telling you how you look, because it's the real shape of their body and it's right there. And it is almost always smaller than they imagine it is because of all that weight lost. So that's just a suggestion. It might help, it might not. For some people, I've heard it's quite profound. And then as far as the field of popping out, yeah, that translates out into really, really annoying. I mean, guys, can you imagine like your dick coming off in the middle of fucking? Oh, bad comparison. No, neither can I. But, you know, with using the doubles, it's really annoying and frustrating using a double for it to come out. I only tried that once, and it almost put me off doubles forever. You betcha that's annoying. Doubles need harnesses. Okay, this is a quick little note from somebody. It was very sweet. Thanks, Ruby. Again, I sincerely say thank you for spreading the words of positive and good things. A nice change in these days. I had awful feelings that bothered me in the beginning of this venture, but your site very quickly helped to clear them up. Love your site and love the things I read that always help to reinforce my thoughts on the subject. Have a terrific holiday season. Pegged and damn happy as hell about it. So this is someone I read you one of his stories that he wrote, and he was writing in to say thank you. And you know, I'm really so glad if anything I said or wrote helped you. I guess what I try and do is I try and put things out there that give everybody a sense that we're all okay just the way we are. You know, whether it's a straight man loving anal stimulation, or a bicurious man who loves anal stimulation, or a gay man who loves anal stimulation, or for that matter, a straight woman, bicurious woman, lesbian woman who love anal stimulation. We'll just stick with that theme. It's all okay. And even if you don't like giving or receiving anal stimulation, that's okay too. But if you don't, then I really have no idea why you're here at Pegging Paradise. But you know, I have my own little niche here. And as I've been occupying this niche and talking about this and talking about the different overlapping subjects that all have to do with pegging and with the people and how they feel about it and with the area of the body and your health and all of these things, more than ever, I'm totally convinced that just in terms of sexuality, acceptance is such a huge deal, and lack of judgment. Because we're all so different. We all like different things. Different things turn us on. Our bodies are different. They work differently. They respond differently. And it's all okay. It really is. It's all totally okay. And I am sad for those people that freak out about talking about the wild stuff, the different stuff, you know. For me, because I've been talking about this and writing about this for years now, it's really no big deal. But I can see sometimes when I first talk about it, I get a little shocked look. I get the nervous laughter. I get a lot of stuff. There's a big thing in our society where it's just something that people don't talk about. And a whole lot of people out there feel like you shouldn't talk about it. That's one of the reasons that when I went to Catalyst Con, it was such a treat for me. Everybody there was totally okay talking about sex. Everybody there. In fact, there's a man who has a lovely website, and he's a sex educator, a really remarkable one. His name is Reid Mihalko, R-E-I-D, and I believe his website is Reid About Sex. As usual, any of the links that I'm mentioning here, I'll have them for you guys underneath the download bar. And when I went to CatalystCon, he came up and said hello to a friend of mine who he knows, and then he turned around and he said, "And who are you?" And I said, "I'm Ruby Ryder, and I teach about pegging, and I write about pegging, I write erotica, and it's a pleasure to meet you." And he didn't even bat an eye. He said, "Well, if you ever need a demo bottom, you let me know, because I'm really good at that." You know, not many people can fluster me, but that totally did. He's a very nice looking man, and I just kind of said, I don't usually do live demos. It was quite funny. So that's how comfortable those people are talking about sex, and I love being around that type of people that are that comfortable, because it's so unusual, and it's so comfortable. You know, it's not like you run around in fear of being judged. You know, that's not like it is at all. And unfortunately, that's the way it is in a lot of places. A lot of judgment out there. Right alongside all of the misconceptions and things, I'll tell you one last little tidbit before I sign off and get this thing posted, so that you East Coasters maybe can listen to it while you're still getting up. I had a date, and the date went very nicely, and I did what I call my reveal, which means I told this person, he knew that I wrote erotica, and he was already curious as to whether I wrote to a specific audience, and I said, "Yeah, that's for another conversation, that's for when we meet in person," and the date went nicely. We met at 6, and we were still talking at 9:30, and finally parted at 10, so about 3/4 of the way through the evening, I went ahead and did my reveal and told him what I write about. And he heard it and he said, "Well, so that is like about that prostate stimulation stuff. Yeah, I've heard about that. I don't do that because I'm not gay." Oh, you know, and thus ensued a conversation correcting him of his misconceptions. But see how much work there is to do out there? This is a lovely, educated man. And wow, that misconception is right there, right there. In fact, I replied and I said, "Yeah, that is the first misconception that people have about pegging, is that everyone who does it is gay." And he says, "Well, no, it's not a conception. It's not a misconception, because that's how gay guys have sex." Oh, goodness. I mean, you guys could probably repeat the statistics. I've said them so many times. And I said, "So, okay, I have two things to say. Listen carefully. First of all, gay men, only 35% of them actually have anal sex. A lot of them don't." And he said, "Really?" And then I repeated my often repeated phrase, which is, "The area of your body that you prefer, that you enjoy to have," let me start over, "the area of your body that you enjoy having stimulated has no bearing on the gender you prefer to do the stimulating." And that sunk in for a moment, and he said, "Wow, good point." And in the end, he said, "Well, all I can say is I'm open to it." And I said, "Wonderful, that's really all I ask." So that was nice that it turned out that way. He did actually say, though, that it was odd knowing what a woman liked in bed before he even, like, went on a hike with her. And yeah, but, you know, I've always believed that this is something that you shouldn't wait until the 4th or 5th date, and I really, really don't think it's something you should wait until after you've already become intimate with someone to reveal. And I know we all have our own way of doing this, but that's my deal. And it's not, I think it'd be different if it was just something that I really enjoyed in bed. But it's much more than that, obviously. I write about it. I write erotic about it. I teach about it. I talk to people about it all the time. It's a big part of my life. So it needs to be a reveal pretty quickly in my world. And I'm glad that that one went so well. I really am. But that's just, I told you guys that just to illustrate. There's a lot of work to do. And I'm thrilled if people are coming to my website and being reassured. I know that men have come and been reassured that their masculinity is perfectly intact. And women have come and been reassured that their man's masculinity is perfectly intact, among a number of other things. Okay, well, I hope you have enjoyed this really rambling, that's how it's felt to me, with very few notes. It's felt like a really rambling podcast. And I have these two little doggies that are sleeping here in the room at my feet, and one of them's been snoring occasionally, so if you hear little sounds in the background, that might have been her. I would pause the recording and I'd stop and wake her up. So, poor sweetie, she needs to go to sleep just as much as I do. So, okay, Ruby Writer signing off. I will be back again next week on time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter. Ruby_writer. I'm on Facebook. I have a profile and a page. I'd be thrilled if you'd give it the little thumbs up, that Ruby Writer's Pagan Paradise page. You can subscribe to my blog if you'd like. And my podcast is available not only on my website, but on iTunes. Thank you for downloading and listening. And happy pegging, everyone.